balance of nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I started taking Balance Nature about 16 months ago to 20 months ago, something like that. And my blood work is right down the middle. I mean, you know, you look at what the high should be, what the low should be, and everything's right down the middle. And my doctor's just amazed by it. She goes, this is just fantastic. And I tell all the doctors, hey, I'm taking Balance Nature. And then I say, it's just a naturally occurring thing. It's just 10 servings of fruits and vegetables that I take every day. I take them into capsules. I said, there's no supplements or anything else that go in it. And it works, you know. What can I say?
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Free speech. It's more important than your feelings. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I was born in a cellar at home, delivered by Dr. McGraw. We had one bedroom for my sister, myself, and my parents. We had a half bath and a kitchen. 7.5 years we lived in that place. There was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There was no safety net. But I always had plenty to eat. Because every time I asked for seconds, my dad would say, no, you had plenty. But the reason I was born with a silver spoon, my dad had only gone to the third grade. That's all the education he had. But why was I born with a silver spoon in my mouth? Because I was taught by my parents. That life's a matter of making choices. Wherever you are, good or bad, because of choices you make. Don't blame anybody else, but if you get an education, you're willing to work and overcome problems and difficulties, in this great country, you can amount to something. That's why I was born with a silver spoon. I was in this country and I was taught personal responsibility for choices you make.
Hi there, Coach Lou Holtz. Thank you for that. I love it. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. A big thank you to Dinesh D'Souza for coming on his movie Trump Card. And his daughter will be on my show next week talking about, she's a young gal, talking about abortion, about a book that she wrote that's really enlightening and really good, very pro-life book. So I appreciate that. Welcome to the show. Hi, Uncle Milty.
Hello, hello.
And a big welcome to Burgess Owens. How are you?
Kate, very, very good. Thank you so much. First of all, Trump Card is a must-see.
Yes!
Please, guys, get it. It really is bringing it up to pace in a good way. And Lou Holtz was my coach with the Jets for about 3 or 4 games.
Are you serious? I did not know this.
Yeah, so it's great guy. So I enjoy listening to that because he's such an inspiration. It's basically
fun.
American dream.
How fun. I did not even know that when I played that. Isn't that interesting? I'll tell you, words of wisdom, words of wisdom. And I'm sure that that probably really hit home because I've had you on the show multiple times. We've talked about race. We've talked about all these things. Right now, you're currently running for Congress. You have testified, which I absolutely love. I love you for this. I love you for actually calling out that we do not have a racist nation. The media keeps trying to sell us on this idea. And I'm so grateful to you for constantly speaking out about this.
Well, you know, Kate, I'm blessed to have been raised in a time when my community was loved being Americans. We loved the opportunity. And we were in the process of commanding respect, not demanding it. How do we do that? Through meritocracy.
Right.
Well, we led the country. Let's give people a little context to where I began. We led the country in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the most competitive community, minority community, leading our country in the growth of the middle class, men matriculated in college, men committed to marriage over 70%, and a percentage of entrepreneurs, which translated to 50 to 60% of black Americans in the segregated country in the 60s being part of the middle class.
Right.
So that's where I began my understanding of how far we've come and how great our country is. Because no matter who you are, when you get here, what language you speak, you tie into the tenets to make our country great. you're literally one generation away from being part of middle class. And if you fall out of middle class like I did after coming out of the NFL, you're within years of getting back into it. So it is the true lotto is being an American. So that's lotto like ticket, that. I should say.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. And you've been out on the campaign trail. You've been on all these shows, Laura Ingraham, you name it. You were just on Laura Ingraham talking about being censored. We'll talk about that too. But what is this run? How has this opened your eyes to the political process running for Congress?
A couple things. I've always been kind of engaged. I was a Democrat until Reagan came along. Then I became a big C conservative. Mm-hmm. So I've always kind of understood where a lot of our problems have come from, particularly coming from that community that was so successful in single decades, how it's been turned upside down. I know exactly what happened to it, and that was policies. So for me, just to start this process and to be fighting for the values of Utahns. Utahns have the values that I grew up in. So for me, it's like coming back home. Mm-hmm. I do understand how easy it is to lose it. We think we kind of take for granted. But the way the left works, they're like little termites. They're persistent. They're patient. They sit there and they undermine every institution we have. They get in, they bring their friends along. And before you know it, we might look like we have a great house, but it's about to fall apart. That's what we're dealing with now. And that's why I'm so glad. It's been an interesting, tough year.
I bet.
But out of it, we're going to come together and talk more about our solutions. And I feel real good about that, Kate.
I love that. And actually, you can go to Burgess4Utah.com to see more about his issues and his campaign. Burgess4Utah.com. You know, going back to Reagan, when you said that you were a Democrat, what do you remember anything that really flipped your lid, that really went, wait a minute, what am I doing? What was the catalyst for that?
It was a process because, and this is why I tell my friends, as you talk with those who are good people, they love our country, they're Democrats, they're independents across the board, don't get in arguments. Just be patient and just know that if you're patient, give the right answers at the time that it's right for them to open up. That's what happened with me. I had friends around me that were successful, they were business owners, and I had questions, but they gave me time, a couple of years just to grow. And the greatest thing that happened is once I came out of the NFL, starting a business, and it failed, I understood firsthand that this is a place of second chance. You can go from an NFL player to 9 years later being a chimney sweep and a security guard and still believe in God and our country and know that you can bounce back. And literally within years, I was back where I wanted to be, pursue my dream again. That's the promise of America. So I think that experience kind of cemented in my understanding of the concept of conservatism.
I should say this.
I'm a conservative. If Republicans do what Democrats do, that is, that they leave the tenets that makes our country great, I will no longer be a Republican. Mm-hmm. I'm all about our country and the conservative values, and that's what makes our country what it is.
I'm glad you made that distinction. It's really important, too. Go ahead, Uncle Milton.
Burgess, how do you deal with the hypocritical racism that comes out of the left?
Yeah.
You know, that's a good question. I think the first thing is to know who they are. Mm-hmm. And again, my foundation, my rearing of the Deep South, I first of all understood by seeing good people that had a lot of obstacles, bigger obstacles than I ever faced, deal with them. And their goal very simply was you beat the racism by just winning, by through meritocracy. So I know it's a long game, and at the end of the day, as long as I can get my message out. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the biggest thing that the left had going over us for years was calling us names. This idea that we would be rejected from our own race if we did certain things.
Right.
Call us Toms and all that stuff to do. We get over that. And I'll say the greatest present of President Obama was he was such a lousy president that people woke up and say, what happened to hope and change? They start asking questions. We start having conversations, realizing his policies put us in the worst position than ever before. And then you compare that with a President Trump that literally within 3 years had the lowest unemployment in history of our country for blacks, Hispanics, Asian women, teens, veterans, and a 400% increase of black business ownership. That feeling of success and dreams and moving forward, once it gets into your heart, you can't just let it go.
That's so true.
I'm just happy that I had that experience way back when I went through my downtime, and I'm seeing now black Americans, I hear now up to 30% are trending toward President Trump. That's a game changer, my friends.
Yeah, that is a game changer.
I'm excited about it for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. You know, this time in our history, it seems more like you have, instead of a right-left party, for America, you have for America and you have anti-America. And the media, to me, the mainstream media, because this show is not bought and sold, we say what we want to say. Nobody tells us what to say. And I've noticed the mainstream media, it's working against an anti-American establishment almost in so many of these outlets. Glenn Greenwald, the most liberal, radical leftist, just left The Intercept that he founded because they were co-opting his stories and censoring him. How do you feel about the recent censorship?
Well, the thing about what's happening now, that not only the censorship, I'm going to put that into everything else going on.
Sure.
Shutting down the businesses, telling people they can't go to church, telling them we can't put our kids back in school. What's happening, America's finding out, we no longer have that gray. What the left does best, they hide in that gray area. They kind of kind of snooze us into it. That gray is gone. We now see there's good and there's evil. And I tell you, American people instinctively, in our DNA, we drift toward the light. That's what we do.
Yeah.
We might not be talking to each other all the time, but we understand freedom. We want to make sure we are free. So this is the kind of time we're having conversations we might not have had years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is the fact that once we get this thing in office, we get a president back in office, we get a House and a Senate, we're going to break down these monopolies that are trying to control our lives and dictate how we should live. Because now we know what they look like, who they are. And up to this point, we just didn't. So we have Democrats, Independents, and Republicans having conversations now that we just wouldn't have had if it had not been for this last year or if two or three years ago. So I'm excited that, I know our history. And I know about our history. One thing, this is a country of miracles. It's a country that's based on Judeo-Christian values, and we always drift toward the light. We do just what we need to do at the right time for the right reasons to pull us out. And 2016 was a miracle for us, and so will the 2020. So just get ready. We're not going to have the House, the Senate, but also presidents in 4 years. And I can't say this enough. I see so much possibilities for our country of coming together, because once we win, we forget all that other stuff. We win, and color doesn't matter, race doesn't matter, none of that matters, because we're feeling that understanding of what it is to come together, and as Al Davis used to say, just win, baby.
I love that. You know, we have listeners from Portland all the way to New York. We have mail carriers. Big shout out to you in New York that listen to the show. So we have people all over the country, and when I look at your race, and I'm looking at this race for Congress, and I'm saying, you know, even in my own state of Utah, this race is really important because you're running against somebody that's very socialist, and those are not the values that we espouse in America. The one thing we do have in common is freedom. We all want the freedom, right? So when you lose that want for freedom, it always surprises me that these are the people that end up in office out there that we seem to be battling, and this is the battleground. But I love that you're running. What finally made you do it? Because I actually thought you'd run a while ago. I was expecting you to run for office. What finally made you do it?
You know, it's interesting because I'm one of those guys who said I would never, ever go in this direction. I just had no desire. I'm an entrepreneur. I always thought that I would be the guy that would be able to just support those who love doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But my dream came true after 30 years when I left the NFL so I can do something that will support our at-risk kids. Coming to Utah, which is a place that just we focus on our kids, our youth. That's what we do.
Right.
So come here, I was able to start a program called Second Chance for Youth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's young boys and girls coming out of the juvenile system and giving them a chance not to go back by learning that the American dream is real for them too.
That's
and they could be the greatest advocates for us. I realized about a year or so ago that if we don't get the house back, these kids that I'm working with here in Utah and are millions across the country do not have a chance because it's all about policies. Democratic policies make sure our kids stay ignorant. They're not educated. They don't get jobs. They don't believe in our American way. They think history that it's always been against them. So by getting back to the House, we have a chance to put together policies that give our kids the chance they need. And one of the first things we're going to do, Kate, is we're going to make sure we change this educational system.
Yeah.
Higher education is a mess.
Yes,
they've been at
us
for decades, way too long. And that's what you're seeing now in the streets. These college-educated kids that came through that was indoctrinated by these cowards and bullies, these professors who hide out. And they're out there now. They're graduated and working corporate jobs and are still burning cities at night.
We're going to come right back. We're going to come right back. Hold on and be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down. when the man comes around.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. I love this. And we've got guest Burgess Owens on with us right now. He's running for Congress. And of course, he was just on Laura Ingraham. He's on so many shows right now. And we're coming up on this election. And he's running in my state, for those listening out of state right now, he's running in my state against really an avowed socialist. This guy loves Pelosi and loves everything about bigger government. And Burgess Owens is running against that. And I'm so happy to hear that, because Burgess Owens understands America. And there's so many people in office right now that don't. And I think we're kind of up against this issue of being what it means to be an American and understand. And when the founders were really, really taking to heart the people coming to this country, the reason they wanted them vetted was so that they could understand what they were going to be standing for, because America was so different. And that's why they wanted a little time to go by before somebody came to the country, so they didn't take their socialism with them and land here and then try to change America into what they just left. And I'm sure that resonates with you, Burgess, because I'm sure that this is part of who you are in your DNA, is to understand America and the American dream, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Kate. And I'll say this. First of all, I wish our audience could hear our talk in between.
I know, right?
The conversations in between. But here's what we have to understand about our nation. And there's two ways of a culture. The culture can either go towards security, and that being the focus, mm-hmm. or they go toward the big dreams, and they're willing to take risk. And that risk comes with one thing, that the factor that our nation started off with. Risk comes with the fact you have faith mm-hmm. that some kind of way you can make it through it, not on your own strength.
Right.
Because you have a God in heaven, that you're doing the best you can, and some kind of way you're going to be blessed by the process. That's what's driven our nation. That's why we have the pioneers that will leave the safety of the East Coast and go to the West Coast. That's why people like yourself, to start a business, mm-hmm. willing to go without pay for a while, because you have a dream. You feel faith. The faith that you've been driven there. I came here to start a not-for-profit, and for the first couple of years, I took no pay. Yeah. Why? Because this was my dream.
Yeah.
I think it has to work some kind of way.
Right.
And that's the way Americans think. That's where we go. That's why socialism is always the most devious way to put into a society of free thinkers. Because what it does, it gives people an idea that they can be safe and calm and secure by somebody else and not mm-hmm. have to take risk, and they're going to be happy. It doesn't work that way. People turn into misery when you cannot dream and know that you can achieve your dream and know that your work and effort will be taken by somebody else.
That's
because they think they know better what your goals should be. So that's what we're fighting against. And I'll say this. I think that we're at a place, because this last year, that we're better able to fight the fight than ever before. Because what happens with Americans, whether it be Pearl Harbor or 9/11 or this last year,
mm-hmm.
we are basically in this bubble of optimism. We go, mm-hmm. go out and dream our dreams and build our businesses and raise our families and look at retirement, not knowing this evil at our doorstep at every single phase.
Yeah.
We now realize this last year how close evil is at our doorstep. As it's shutting down everything we do, taking mm-hmm. away our rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness,
right.
Americans on both sides are saying enough is enough. So I think we're going to have more risk takers after we come out of this. Can I just say this? One of the things I would love to be able to do
mm-hmm.
is highlight. We've been talking about the frontline heroes,
mm-hmm.
and they're great heroes of healthcare and police and our firemen, first responders. What we've been lacking for decades are those frontline heroes that make our country what it is and creates this great middle class called the small business owners.
Yeah.
They're the ones that take a risk. They stay up at night trying to figure out how to make it happen, fall flat on their face, and get back up again. And out of that comes a middle class that's full of faith, patience, service, love, all those things that make you feel good when they show up. That's the middle class powered by the small business owners. And we now need to make sure that they are given the credit due when we come out of this pandemic.
Man, that's so true. Let me tell you, when I'm thinking about America and I'm thinking about all the people that hide behind their job, and I have a lot of whistleblowers that come to me that say, I'm afraid to lose my job. We're going to have to be afraid to lose the job and lose the job. We're going to have to be able to go the extra mile now and stop being afraid to do that. And I think one of the things that I have seen over my career of 9 years of doing this, almost a decade, is that the lack of integrity to stand alone when you need to, and maybe the other Congress people in the state go one direction. Do you have that backbone to stand alone, to make that tough decision to say no, to be one of those standouts that says, I can't go along with that? I think people want to know that, Burgess. Do you have that courage?
Well, you know what? And the answer to that comes down to those who understand what our country's been built on and those who paid the price for us.
Right.
They have a love of God, country, family, women, and authority. And then they come after that.
Yeah.
Those who understand that those priorities will do whatever they have to do. They will give up anything they have to give up to make sure those things stay in place.
Right.
And so we just have to teach our young men. And I'll say this. The greatest blessing we've had to our country is womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we find things like unconditional love and patience and care.
Nurturing.
Things that men have no idea how to get close to.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to men standing up and saying, this is worth fighting and defending and dying for, to make sure women can do their thing. Whatever that might be, as a partner, to make sure that family is being raised with respect, with love, with a vision. That happens with that partnership. And we have to have young men growing up to be committed, to be true men, to make sure that happens. And that's what I think we've been falling flat on for a while. So to the point of losing your jobs, you're right. When you get to the point where somebody else dictates your future and you sit back and let it happen, that's how we lose our culture.
Yeah.
Our culture's been based on people taking a risk, putting themselves out there to sacrifice themselves to make it happen. And I think of, I just go back to the last generation, my dad's generation, who fought wars across around the world, taking a chance of not coming back, but they did because they loved their country enough to make that sacrifice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know why you're running, and I know that this is heartfelt for you. These aren't just words, and I think that's really important for people to know. And as they're casting their votes, make sure that you're voting for somebody that actually, you know, I make this joke that it's hard to find anybody in D.C. that likes our country. It's difficult, you know? And so I'm glad that you do. I'm glad that you have this love for it, because that makes all the difference.
Kate, if I can say this, one thing we're now realizing is it's not on accident that we have so many people that grow up, get into corporate positions, and they do not love our country, because they've been trained to do that throughout their educational system.
Right.
We now know where the issues are, and we'll change that. So our kids grow up proud of who they are, proud of our country, proud of our history, and also understanding the free market capitalism versus socialism. We need to teach that big time.
Oh, big time. Did you want to comment on censorship? I know that that there are publications even here in Utah that are censoring you, Deseret News being one, and saying, well, you know, it's interesting the claims that they're trying to make to bolster up that side of the case of censorship. And when you're talking about socialism, and I'm thinking socialism, you know, the road to communism, the road to full censorship, I don't think we realize how much of it goes on right now, even in our mainstream media, how they're doing this daily. Did you want to comment on the censorship going on?
I would, because that's been a big surprise to me. Obviously, I've been in Utah for 8 years, and you kind of think that, you know, our cultures, we just want fair and balanced. That's how we just want fair and honesty and be fair and balanced. And so to have the call about an hour before I went on the show, Laura, last night, to find out that Deseret decided to pull our ads.
Right.
And they had no real good reason. They had not talked to us about it. They had not given us an opportunity to talk, you know, just understand what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They told us that they said we'll look at doing a refund. And now all of a sudden they're saying that we had done things more than once, and I don't know what that is. We've been asking them for some kind of documentation.
Jeez.
They have not given it to us so far. But what it comes down to is this. We do have, unfortunately, and this is across the media across the board. This is not just Utah. The problem we're having is those with a certain ideology kind of believe they're the only one that should be heard, only one that should be listened to, and the only one that should be that should dictate.
Mm-hmm.
That cannot happen in a free country.
Yeah.
All we ask for is citizens, just give us the truth and let us decide.
Yeah.
We can see what's best for us and how to get it done. Just be honest with us. Don't tailor things with propaganda so we only have one idea what truth is. That's not freedom. That's not American way. And I think this year, we now have to understand how it works out with Twitter and Facebook and Google. And guess what? We get the House, the Senate, and the presidency back. Again, all these things will be resolved because we're going to finally deal with the issues that we now see as in front of us.
No, it's so true.
I think just Utahans, just keep this in mind. Get as many views as possible across the board, And you can decide, as you hear the different views, what's right for you and what makes sense. The truth is the truth. It's not, it doesn't vary. It's like the North Star. It's like the sun. It comes up every day. We can't change it because we want to make a rule or make a law. It is what it is. Truth is that way. And as long as we understand truth and work toward that, then we can be a happy, prosperous people. Because we know how to use truth in our own advantage.
Yeah, so true. I do think that, you know, when it comes to socialists, when it comes to people trying to hijack the country, when it comes to the media, you know what? They're overplaying their hand so much, and now it's become so obvious and so in our face that people are finally starting to figure it out. So maybe it's good that we're kind of hitting this rock bottom in mainstream media.
It is very good, and you're right. The one thing when you take God out of anybody's, their ideology, take God out, there's no wisdom. And what the left has done, the radical left, they think that bullying will do it.
Right.
They can threaten, they can beat us up, and at some point we will acquiesce. They don't realize the American way. We do not like bullying. We do not like the lack of freedom. So given time, once we start waking up to what's going on, we immediately rebel.
Right.
That's where our country started, rebelling against tyranny. We do not like it. We never have. We never will.
Mm-hmm.
It is within the DNA of our nation. And I don't care what color we are, we all feel the same way. We want to dream big and know that we have the ability to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have this empathy.
Right.
That those around us that are not given that same opportunity, we want to help them out.
Yeah.
We're not going to just let them flounder because they live in a blue city or a blue state.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help these people out. Let's continue to think of how we can serve our fellow men that are being pushed down by the socialist mentality.
Yep.
Kids in California, Baltimore, let's find a way to help them to get to the point where they can believe in the American dream also, and we all benefit from that process.
Oh, believe me, I'm with you. It's Burgess, Burgess, 4, the number 4, utah.com. You know, all your years, you've won the Super Bowl. You've had this amazing career, okay, in the NFL, and you should be golfing and taking it easy and eating bonbons and watching TV, but you're not doing that. Are you ready for this? Are you excited for this in Congress? Being in Congress? Burgess?
We lost him.
We lost him? No. I mean, we must have.
Yep, we must have.
Oh, darn it. Okay. I know he's excited,
yes.
And I know he's ready for it.
Well, you can hear
and,
it.
Yeah, and I know he doesn't. I'm joking because you know that that's not who he is. He doesn't want to sit around. And he could be playing golf. See, a lot of people do that. And I think, you know what? There's so much they can do. There's so much they can do. Burgess is taking that opportunity and going out on a limb. And I really appreciate that about him, that he's doing that. And he's a good man. Burgess is a really good man. So Burgess4Utah.com, if you're listening in Utah, he's running for Congress. And didn't he even speak at the Republican convention? It was online,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Burgess, we lost you, and we're just...
I know this one you're about to break anyway.
I know. Okay,
I want to get back and just say I'm so sorry. It just went dead. I don't know what happened there.
You're live right now. We're going out. You have about 10 seconds. Go to burgess4utah.com. So happy for you, Burgess.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me. Let's get this thing done with, guys.
You got it. Good luck. And be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around?
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show.
Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers.
Oh.
100 million angels singing.
I love this song, actually.
Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come.
I love it. Welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Thank you to Dinesh D'Souza today. Burgess Owens today. I got Uncle Milty. I'm a lucky girl. Can I just tell you? Got a lot of guys that are just doing good things. And Uncle Milty's amazing. You know, a big thank you goes out to him for me because he doesn't have to do this. And he chooses to do this.
You're proving my insanity here, so be careful.
He chooses to do this, and I just want to say that it's just, it's really great. I don't know what I'd do without him, and I don't tell him that enough, and he really is. He makes me laugh daily, and he always has really fantastic points to make, and all that wisdom you've conjured up over all those years of being alive. He's ready to kill
that
me.
That may be, but I don't remember the last Halloween full moon.
So they keep telling us anyway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Balance of Nature, get over there, order up. Even Milty takes it. We love this supplement. Just make sure you just get it. Just trust us on this one. I know. I hate to say just trust us. Ugh, it's like an awful politician thing to say. But just trust us on this. You'll love this supplement. It's the very best one. It packs everything into it. And it's just chock full of vitamins and minerals and nutrients your body needs. And I'm telling you, your body needs it. We're wearing down the stress, all of this. I feel it. You feel it. I get it. Trust me, what a stressful year. And the week ramping up, it's just stressful, right? Tomorrow, I have Investigator Dave and Gerald Salente from Trends. And I got to get my mute button ready. But wow, when he comes on, he's always like, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here's some facts. And I'm just going to say it. And boy, does he say it. Like I said, mute button ready. But anyway, he just calls it. And you're going to love Gerald Salente tomorrow. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you had that interview with the Burgess and Owen. And it was, I agree with what he said about, you know, when this is all over, we as Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals, all, we have to come to an agreement and everything else. But when it comes to those blue states that have been financially mismanaged, we cannot bail them out. They have to feel the pain of their mismanagement.
Yep.
To go in there and hand money to pensions that were mismanaged to bridges that went, or I should say, railroads to nowhere, and all the ideas that they had to come up in those states, and then us in the conservative states bailing out everybody. It's the same thing that happened with the mismanagement of the banks and this whole bailout idea of I can mismanage my life, and when the consequences come due, somebody else is going to have to pay for it.
I remember in the 2012 election, one thing that we kept saying over and over again was do not bail out the automobile industry. Mm-hmm. Let it fall so it can build itself up again. And you know what? The other two industries that are never allowed to fail, and they should have failed a long time ago so they could build themselves up, is banking and the media. If we would have allowed them to give them enough rope to hang themselves, we actually could have gotten into a better situation, but we never allowed that as a country. And what you're saying is very, very true. You go bail out all these mismanaged states, all these horrifying deals that go to their friends and uncles and cousins. And look at the Pelosi family, for Pete's sakes. Look at the Feinstein family, for Pete's sakes. So you have all of the stuff going on, all the shenanigans, and they never have to feel the pain of doing that. And so they just keep doing it.
Right. This is the problem, is that whenever something, I mean, capitalism works because when you take risks, you get rewarded when those risks work out. But when they don't, you have to pay the consequences. If we don't have any consequences for when it goes bad, then that is not a capitalist system. That is an oligarchy that works for those who have connection, who can get bailed out. But those of us down here who are working every day and our 401k gets wiped out, do we get bailed out?
Right.
No.
Nope.
And that's what happens, is that, you know, things get more, if I go through a bankrupt or something happens to me, does somebody come in and go, here's some money for you? I guess if I do a GoFundMe account, which is, you know, that
seems
so
to be standard.
So if I go get myself lost in Zion, I get a GoFundMe account when I did it on purpose.
Right. No, I'm with you. You just can't believe it. You just really can't believe it. And it is.
That's
it's going
society.
On.
People have this idea that there's always somebody to help me out.
Yep.
And that's not the way it always works. Especially when it's your own resolve that has to do it.
I completely agree with you. Thank you, caller. Really appreciate that sentiment. You know,
GoFundMe accounts really bother me.
Oh, my gosh.
They've just turned into a situation where people who make bad choices want other people to bail them out.
You're right. It's a personal bailout is what it is. Yep. And you know what else needs to hit rock bottom, too, is public health. And I loved this on Laura Ingraham again from Scott Atlas, who took over Fauci's position when Fauci was fired. And the only reason you see Fauci anywhere with MSN always repeating and parroting what he saying and putting him on the stage is because he's putting himself out there, not because anyone wants him to be. But this is Scott Atlas talking about public health. Here you go.
I can say this. History will record the faces of the public health expertise as some of the most sinful, egregious, epic failures in the history of public policy. They have killed people with their lack of understanding and their lack of caring about not just the impact of cases of COVID-19, a virus that the overwhelming majority of people do well in, notwithstanding, of course, we're not underestimating 200,000 Americans who died. That's tragic. But these people have been a gross failure because they never cared to consider the impact of the policy itself. And the policy itself has been a complete, epic failure. And honestly, some people say a crime against humanity.
A crime against humanity. Scott Atlas was saying that, and he is the White House Corona Task Force lead, the head of the Corona Task Force. And so he's calling it a crime of humanity. He's saying it's so mismanaged and so terrible, and public health is such a disgrace and has become such a laughable entity. Let me just tell you, at 223,000 deaths, we are not even up to where the flu is on a high year, which is 260,000 in the United States. And they stopped counting flu until 2022. They stopped counting flu. CDC announced it is suspending data collection because they just don't know how to count it. That is the such a lie.
It is.
Even back in the day in 1919, the papers actually recorded down to the person, down to the individual, how many exact cases of everything. We've never had a problem with accounting in this country as far as we can do the numbers. Think about all the censuses that go back into the 1800s. We've always had that capability. So they act right now like they can't do it.
Well, it's just like Dr. Tenpenny said on Tuesday.
Yes.
Only 15% of the cases we call influenza are actually influenza. The rest of them are other coronaviruses or pneumonia. Various different things. Mm-hmm.
So it's a big farce, and public health should fail like the rest of the media and the banking situation. There's so many failures that need to take place. Otherwise, they never learn, they never feel the pain, and they never correct their ways. And that's what we're seeing. They'll never correct this.
Well, and that's the typical problem with government.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The bureaucrats never suffer for their deeds.
Yeah.
Never.
And like I told, we were talking about with Burgess, it's... Now it isn't just a side of an ideology against another side of an ideology about America and how we're going to get there. It's I like America. I don't like America. I like America and I want to get back to our roots, or I want to fundamentally transform America like Obama used to say and his ilk. That these treasonous people that don't like what we stand for, so they want to change it to the nearest communist depot. It amazes me that we are in this, I love America, I hate America. And it would be very, very tough right now to go into Washington, D.C. to find somebody that loves our country.
Yes.
That's really a sad thing. And when I say love our country, I mean the people that say they love it, and they put their hand on their chest, and they will not have a backbone or a spine, and they will not make a stand, even alone. When we were talking to Burgess, we were having a great conversation about the fact that you have to stand up on your own now. You have to say, I'm going to forego the job at the hospital so I can tell the truth about them fudging numbers. I'm going to walk away from public health because of their manipulation and all their bad deeds. I'm going to take a hike from all these different companies I work for that are lying to the American people. people. I'll do that. Put some faith in God that he'll help you to find another job. But we don't have that backbone. And that's what Burgess was talking about, was where's our backbone? We don't have that anymore. We've lost our way because we can't stand for anything because we're so afraid of everything. We're just afraid. We're afraid to lose our job, afraid to lose our home, afraid to do this, afraid to do that. You know, when we took the show on our own, we had to be not afraid of that. And guess what? All the blessings came. That's how it works. Yep. You have your leap of faith, blessings come. That's what happens. And we just don't have the backbone. I just see so many people afraid. I see congressmen that are so riddled with fear to stand up to the status quo that they go along and they take people's liberty because they're too afraid. I have a congressman like this right now. He's so afraid. He's so afraid. He's so spineless. I just think, oh, come on. Where's our backbone?
You know that last night Tucker was telling the story about the paperwork that went missing?
Yeah.
They found it. UPS says they found the documents that went missing, and they're now in transit.
Really? Interesting. Huh.
So they just didn't want him to have them when he needed them.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, things can get sticky. Things can get in the way. Aren't we kind of used to seeing some of this kind of shenanigans and stuff? And let me just say this. A friend of mine posted this today, and this is a documented story by Marcel Stemberger. And he was in his 50s and bushy white hair and his native country of Hungary. And he always took the 909 Long Island Railroad train from his home in New York, where he caught a subway into the city. And on this particular morning in 1948, he boarded this 909 as usual. And he decided, he suddenly decided to visit a friend of his. So he got on to a different route, right? He boarded a different train than he's ever boarded before. And the car was crowded and he ended up sitting next to somebody from Hungary. And he got to know this guy, and as he was sitting there on the train with him, he said, you know, this guy was telling him his story, and he just kind of looked like he had these sort of sad eyes, and that his whole family had been killed, and his whole family had been taken to the camps to be killed. And he was just sad, and it dawned on this guy as he was sitting next to him on the train that, hey, wait a minute, I met somebody from the same little town. And so he kind of thought about this, and he thought about this woman who had lost her family, and he thought, I wonder if they know each other. So he brings up her name, and this guy had just finished talking about his deceased wife, and he said, do you know so-and-so, Myra? And he said, yeah, that's my wife. And he said, so he actually got off the train, got him in a taxi, called her, identified her, had him standing there, put him in a taxi, put him en route to their home, and said, let's get off this train. And he said there was absolutely no question in his mind why he was put on that different train that day and had this feeling to go visit a friend so he could sit next to this guy and this guy could find his wife who he thought was deceased and she thought he was deceased and they were both brought over to America and they found each other.
Wow.
And I know. And I'm thinking, you know what? The whole reason I said this was, let him perform a miracle in your life. Let him. Because sometimes we want to take so much control over our life. I can't lose my job. I can't tell the truth. I can't do this. I can't do that. We don't allow him to make a miracle in our life. When he got on that different train that day, he followed it, that little prompting. He got on the train. He did what he knew he was supposed to go do. And lo and behold, a miracle took place that ended up helping this man find his wife. The wife he thought was dead. And you think about this and you think, why can't people allow this to happen in their lives? And if I was ever going to leave a message today, it would be let him help you come clean. If you're going to be a whistleblower, tell the story out loud. Leave that job if you have to or the career. You'll end up on your feet, I promise, because whenever you do what's right, you will end up on your feet.
Absolutely.
Let him work a miracle in your life. Just tell the truth. Stand firm. Get a backbone. Stand up for this country. Love you guys. Be faithful. Be fearless. Played the wrong outro music because that's just the way the day's going. And it's just... There we go. You know what? It's one of those days. What can I say? It's a crazy week leading up to the election. So, Gerald Salante tomorrow, and got a show on censorship on Election Day on Tuesday, and get to the... Well, anyway, everybody have a good one. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you guys.